Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanim Eric Katz, and today I'll be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Kuf, which is 100. If you've been following with us since the beginning of Sefer Tehillim, now's the time to take a moment to pause and feel an incredible sense of accomplishment. You are two-thirds of the way. Kol HaKavod, that is tremendous. But now we have to get right back into our learning because we still have another third of the way to go. This chapter is a double finale. It marks the end of our series of Kabbalah Shabbos, and it's also the conclusion of the 11 beautiful Mizmorim of Moshe Rabbeinu. So first we're going to analyze our Mizmor as it stands by itself as well as in context to Shabbos, and then we will connect it to the broader theme of Moshe Rabbeinu's songs. So this Mizmor is known as Mizmor L'Todah, a song of thanksgiving. It was traditionally sung in the Beit HaMikdash by the Levim when a person would bring a korban todah, a thanksgiving offering, which was brought when someone experienced, when someone survived a dangerous situation. The korban todah is unique because in addition to bringing an animal, one also had to bring 40 loaves of bread. And it was also set up in a way that the person had a short window of time to eat it. If he bought it that day, then he would have to finish it by that evening before midnight. And he was also allowed to share it with other people and eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim. Most korbanos had to be eaten in the Beit HaMikdash, usually by the Kohanim and sometimes by the person who brought it. But this, you gave the Kohen his portion, and then the rest you would take out to Yerushalayim and you'd have to eat it anywhere in the city. So obviously a person can't eat so much food, even if he is a teenage boy. It's set up in a way that you have to invite other people to help you. So you could imagine in your mind's eye, the person renting a hall in Jerusalem and inviting all of his friends and family with all of the challah and all of the meat and having a huge feast where he publicizes what happened to him, explains the miracle, thanks Hashem, and then increases the Kiddush Hashem as more people get to appreciate how he was saved. There are four situations that would be considered life-threatening and would need the Korban Todah, and you remember it through the acronym of Chayim, life, because his life was saved. Chet would be a chole, someone who's sick, and this includes a woman who survived childbirth. Yud is for Yam, traveling across the sea, which today includes flying. Yud is Yisurim, if somebody was released from prison. And Mem is Midbar, if they survived in the desert. Today we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. We can't offer the Korban. So instead we say Birkat HaGomel, preferably with a minyan. And then depending on the circumstances, we might also have a Seudat Hoda'a to say thank you. Now, the Avudraham rules that because we face danger every day and Hashem rescues us every day, whether we realize it or not, we should say this perek every day in our morning tefillot in the introductory prakim of Tehillim that we say in Psukei Dezimra. However, because this korban included 40 challahs, it was not said on Pesach, and an individual's korban was never brought on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so we don't say Mizmor L'Todah on those days. And this is the reason why Ashkenazim don't include Mizmor L'Todah in Kabbalah Shabbos, but we said Sfaradim do. In the time of Mashiach, all the personal sacrifices, which were mainly linked to repentance, will no longer be necessary because people won't sin. The only korban left will be the korban todah. So this future reality aligns with the Mizmor's theme of the universal recognition of Hashem and the Jewish mission of being a light unto the nations as the entire world unites to serve Hashem. So if we go back to our overarching theme of Kabbalah Shabbos, we said in 95 that was the introduction, and we said 100 was the conclusion, and the two of them were the bookends. They mirrored each other. In 95, we invited everyone, L'chunu anana Hashem, come, let's go up and praise Hashem. But we noted that the nations of the world couldn't hear us. We focused on 96 and 97, on the nations of the world, how they slowly increased their recognition of Hashem and came to the realization that the powers that they believed in were worthless. And then in 98 and 99, we emphasized that Hashem rescued us so that we could be his chosen nation and we have a mission to fulfill. And we slowly grew into our role. And now at the end of time, everything comes together. The nations of the world recognize Hashem. We have successfully fulfilled our goal of being an Or LaGoyim, a light unto the nations. So now once again, we repeat our invitation to the rest of the world to come and join us and serve Hashem. Rav Amos Chacham divides this perek into three sections. 1-2 is an introduction. It's a call to serve Hashem joyfully. 3 is the center theme, the knowledge of Hashem. And 4-5 is thanking Hashem. So let's begin. Mizmor Latoda, a song of thanksgiving. Some of Farshim translated as a song of thanks, and some translated as a song that was sung when you offered the thanksgiving offering. But now we start with the actual Mizmor. Hariu LaHashem Kol Haaretz, let all the world call out to Hashem. Right? This is similar to the call that we said in 95. Everybody come together, all the nations of the world. Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha, ba'o lefanav birnana, serve Hashem with joy, come before him with joyous song. This is such a famous pasuk. It's sung to so many tunes. Everybody knows it in one form or another. And it really is the anthem of the Jewish people. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to say that we lost a whole generation of Jews at the beginning of the 20th century because those wonderful, brave people who would sacrifice every week for Shabbos and lose their job every week would come home and say, oh, it's so difficult to be a Jew. And that's all their children saw. They did not appreciate the self-sacrifice. They just saw the sadness. And they were here in the land of the free thinking, well, I don't need this. And they assimilated. Conversely, the Baal Shem Tov, who was the founder of the Hasidic movement, he looked around at the average Jew in Eastern Europe, who was in such a depressed state in his social and economic status. And he decided to build a movement that improved the self-esteem of the oppressed Jew and injected joy and enthusiasm into davening. And he taught the Jews, when you sing, when you dance, it's a form of avoda. And today the Hasidic movement is stronger than ever. So the more we can inject joy into avodat Hashem, our serving of God, the more we can guarantee that our children will continue in our path. The Malbim adds that when you say Ivdu, he's talking specifically about tefillah. If you're going to ask somebody for something, usually you're nervous. Maybe this person doesn't want to help me. Maybe this person can't help me. But when we come to ask Hashem for something, we're confident Hashem can do anything. And we also believe that Hashem wants to do things for us. So therefore, we come to serve Hashem in tefillah with joy. Now, this next pasuk is the linchpin to the perek and to the entire theme of Shabbos. De'u ki Hashem hu Elokim. Know that Hashem, He is God, He made us. Now we have a cricative, which means it's written one way and said another way. So I will read it and translate it both. Either you say, Hu asanu velo anachnu, He made us, we did not make ourselves. Or you could say, Hu asanu, He made us, velo anachnu, and we are His. Amo v'tzon marito, we are His people, the sheep in His care. In our journey to bring the world to recognize Hashem, we made many references to the idols or the false powers that the nations of the world would worship. In 95, 96, 97, we kept referring to them as Elohim, meaning false powers. And we had to get them to the point where they would realize that they are Elilim, worthless. Whereas in 95, when we spoke about ourselves, but 98 and 99, we would talk about Elokeinu, our God. So we had this struggle of powers between what the nations believed as Elohim, fake gods, and what we believed Elokeinu, our God. Now finally, in Perek 100, we're all on the same page. De'u ki Hashem hu Elokim. Everybody is worshiping the same God. We reference this event in Ne'ilah. We get a taste of what it's going to be like at that final day by Yom Ahu, when everyone comes together at that climax of Yom Kippur and calls out, Hashem, Hu Elokim. This is what it's going to be like at the end of time. This is what we're saying in our Pasuk. But even in this Pasuk, we still differentiate between the two groups, the same separation that we made in Kiddush. We say about the nations of the world, Hu Asanu, He made us. This is why we have a universal acceptance of Hashem, because we're remembering that Hashem created the world and He created all of us. But then there's the second half, V'lo anachnu amo v'tzon marita. We belong to Him, we're His people, the sheep in His care. So this is the individual, kivano v'charta v'asanu kidashta. God chose us, He sanctified us, He rescued us so we could be His nation. This is still differentiated in this perek. And then the final word of Musar, of self-reflection that we need to think about is, if we read it as it's written, V'lo anachnu, we have to remember that Hashem is the ultimate source of everything. We can't take credit for anything that we accomplish. Hashem made us. Hashem gives us the ability to achieve and be successful. So everything that we have in our lives is from Hashem. It's not because of our own brilliance and genius. Then we carry on to the next pasuk. Bo sharav b'todah, chatzarasav b'shila. Enter his gates with thanks, his courtyard with praise. Hodula baruch shema. Thank him, praise his name. So if you could picture in your mind's eye what the Beit HaMikdash looked like. Imagine yourself going up the steps. First you go through those gates. Then you come to the main courtyard where you met with the Kohanim who come to help you offer your korban. And then the Levi'im are singing the Tehillah, the song, as they are offering the korban. Hodula baruch shema. And this is your chance to join in and thank Hashem for the miracle that you experienced. The Sfarna says, when we say Hodula, we are thanking Hashem for everything that happened until now. Baruch Shema means we're committing in the future to always tell our children and our descendants about the great things that Hashem has done for us. And then we finish off in the last pasuk, Ki tov Hashem la'olam chasto, va'ador va'dor emunato. For Hashem is good, His love is forever, He keeps His promise to every generation. Hashem continually does good for us, it's not a one-time thing. That's why we say, Ki tov Hashem la'olam. Always Hashem is doing kindness for us. Just because I'm bringing this one-time korban doesn't mean that the goodness I receive is a one-time event. And then we differentiate between chasto and emunato. Chasto is kindness that Hashem does for us because Hashem just wants to, the goodness of His heart. Emunato are the promises that He made our forefathers, our ancestors, that He would one day do for us. And we say ad dor vador because these promises took a long time to be fulfilled. But now we're at the end of time and we're reflecting back in history and we're testifying that everything Hashem promised, He has fulfilled. Both the spontaneous outpouring of goodness that Hashem did for no reason and the fulfillment of the promises that He gave our forefathers. Now, if you look at the actual structure of the perek, there are a lot of command verbs. Hariu, come, like a peer. Ivdu, serve. Bo, come. Du, no. Bau, again, come. Hodu, thank. Baruchu, bless. So we've got all these command words. And if you translate them in context of the perek, you see the first three words are inviting people to come, rejoice, and sing. Then the central command is to know. And then the last three are to thank, to appraise, and to bless. That's if you take the words and contents of the sentence. So it's interesting that the central command to know is given its own pasuk to show that it's the most important theme of the Mizmor. The author's teaching us that awareness of Hashem is what is central to serving Him. You will notice that this key theme, de'u, is sandwiched between the two commands of ba'u, come. This hints to us that only one who knows Hashem can come and worship Him. And it also refers to our two divisions. The first coming is the nations of the world who are coming to acknowledge. And the second coming is the Jewish people who are coming to actually worship and thanks. And finally, this represents to us the three stages of Avodat Hashem. The first is the feelings that you feel inspired in your heart. The joy, the awe that you feel you want to connect to Hashem. The second is thought, it's intention, kavana. And the third is action. Each by itself is not powerful, but the three together gives you the ultimate avodat Hashem. You feel it, you think it, and then you do it. So this brings us to the end of the 11 Mizmorim that Moshe Rabbeinu gifted to the 11 tribes. Even though there were 12 tribes, Moshe was angry with the tribe of Shimon because of a terrible sin they did at the end of their time in the desert. Although there is a 12th song of Moshe Rabbeinu hiding in the first book called Rananut Tzadikim LaHashem. Maybe another time we can explore why it's there and what this has to do with Shimon. Moshe wrote these various Mizmorim throughout his life, but he gifted them as a complete set after Hazinu, just before he was going to his death. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's final instructions. It's his guide to his beloved people when they would leave him, cross the Yarden, and enter the land of Israel. And it was a guideline to accompany them until the end of time. So let's look back at the beautiful Mizmorim and review Moshe's lesson to us as our guide for life. We start off in Perek Tzadi, analyzing how life is short, and we ask Hashem to make our days count. In Tzadi Aleph, Moshe, who went up to receive the Torah and dwelt in the shadow of Hashem, teaches us that one who trusts in Hashem with bitachon is assured Hashem's protection. In Tzadi Bet, Moshe cautions that in the course of our short lives, we might not see the full picture. Therefore, we should praise Hashem in the good times and have emunah in the difficult times. We also should not become confused when we compare the rapid success of the wicked to the slow growth of tzaddikim. In 93, we discussed how Hashem rules the world through nature and through miracles, and how Hashem manipulates the wicked to fulfill his will. In 94, Moshe again reassures us that the wicked are part of Hashem's plan, but he ends with a tefillah that Hashem should punish them for the terrible suffering they've caused the Jewish people. Knowing that our exile will be long and full of suffering, Moshe Rabbeinu shares with us a glowing depiction of the events of the end of time to give us the strength to endure the galus. Beginning in 95 with an invitation for all of mankind to serve Hashem, we describe the messianic process at the end of days, where the nations slowly give up their idols and come to a recognition of Hashem in 96 and 97. And then we too recognize our role as the chosen people and the people of holiness in 98 and 99. And at the end, in our perek of today, we all come together to offer korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash. One of our principles of faith is that we believe in Tchiyat HaMesim, revival of the dead, which will take place sometime after Mashiach. So as Moshe Rabbeinu is preparing to depart from his beloved people, perhaps he's saying, take these mizmorim for now, use them to guide you until we meet again on the other side of time, hopefully, speedily in our days. Thank you for studying Le'ilu Nishmat Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sheirit HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.